News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you about my friends at ZLA Solutions because I was just talking to them this morning. ZLA Solutions, they just had a record month. All right, so they were telling me that, you know, the finances, the breakdowns, how things have been going, and they literally have been putting so many people back to work that last month was their record month in the history of the company. And I'm telling you, ZLA Solutions is one of the best around at putting people back to work. And what they do is this: they are a staffing agency. They can also find you the job you're looking for. Go to their website, zlausa.com, if you're looking for a job. They've got them posted all over the place. Good jobs, good pay. They just told me about a new job lineup they've got right now, paying over $20 an hour with benefits, and that's just huge in this market right now. So if you're looking for a job, zlausa.com. But if you're looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, you need to find more employees for your place, go see them, zlausa.com. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions at zlausa.com. All right, we're in the triple dipper. My comments just a moment ago stand, all right? So the bottom line is this. I got no sympathy, soft spot in my heart, really, for a prosecutor who won't prosecute or a judge who won't judge. It makes no sense to me. And then, by the way, I understand the triaging of your work, if you will. I understand there's times when you have to prioritize because of staffing or prioritizing because of budgeting or knowing what you can get accomplished in a certain amount of time. I get all that. That's called running a business. That's the operations of the job. But when you come into a job like that with the absolute intent not to prosecute certain things no matter what, the absolute intent not to follow through on that which the laws of your state or location say you should. I mean, keep in mind, we have municipal courts, too. We have, I saw a municipal judge be removed but a few years ago because they were setting up an endless cycle of what was always being called debtor's prisons. They were assessing so many penalties without hearing the evidence that people who couldn't afford to pay the bills then had to go to jail, and they were out of control. But I've seen just the opposite, too, where overzealous can also become underzealous. They are overzealous to be underzealous. There's a phrase for you. They are overzealous to become underzealous. And so at this point, we've got people in positions of authority all over this nation right now who are literally just avoiding the jobs that they were either appointed or elected to do. So here's an article I pulled off Newsmax, all right? A guy named Benjamin Manis wrote a piece in Newsmax, and he says are activist prosecutors leading citizens to have to fend for themselves? It's a dangerous precedent, because if you're pushed too far, if you don't believe the authorities are going to help, then what are you going to do? You have two choices. You roll over and become a victim, or you lash out. And he points out in this piece right here, he says, the old saying of life imitating art has rang true in many facets of American life throughout history. He says, in New York through the 70s, when there was a lax criminal justice policies by the two mayors that were there in the 70s, it spawned the movie, y'all may remember it, Charles Bronson, Death Wish. Death Wish was a mild-mannered architect who turned into a gun-wielding vigilante who went after the people who attacked and killed and raped his wife and daughter. And it was a box office success. It spun out of what people were seeing in real life, and it created a movie. It was art entertaining or imitating life, or life imitating art in that point. So bottom line is this: as we look at the rising violent crime rates in cities like New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and many others, you got this maddening intersection right now of mayors and prosecutors. They're progressive liberals, and they come in there, and a lot of them wind up using COVID as an excuse to further their attempts to release criminals from jail, to not enforce certain laws. And it leads to things like what we're seeing right now with these smash-and-grab robberies, where street thugs feel so emboldened that they'll go in broad daylight and rush into a store, sweep up as much as they can, smashing display cases, knocking people out of the way, harming and sometimes injuring people, and literally just doing this brazenly because they know that nobody's going to enforce it. Did you know that literally, I believe it's in California right now, the law has been changed such that it is not considered a felony until you have stolen over $1,000 worth of merchandise. $1,000. So what that means is, and I read an article on this, about a year ago. You got people who literally will walk into a store and pick up a handful of goods and walk out with it. The store employees are told, don't interfere. They know they're not going to be prosecuted because it's below the limits, because they know what the limits are. They add up the price tags and they walk out with what they can. And they go across the street and they sell it to a fence who gives them cash so they can go buy drugs. That's what we're looking at right now. These laws have spawned this little black market scenario where they literally will walk in, grab what they want, walk out without anybody challenging them or trying to stop them, walk across the street in broad daylight, sell it to somebody who puts it in the trunk of their car and drives away. They take the cash they got from this one, go buy the drugs they need so they can live on the street and continue this endless cycle of deprivation. Meanwhile, the people of the community are just fed up. I'm looking at an article. Let me find that one. I'll tell you what. I'm going to get to that one in a minute. San Francisco's coming. I'll get to that one in a minute. Let me tell you what happened in Jefferson County. Right here in Sweet Home, Alabama. So this just happened last week. Jefferson County Judge Nikita Blockton. Now, I believe she was, if I'm not mistaken, she was a domestic court judge, meaning she handled divorces and guardianships and custody and all that kind of stuff. But Jefferson County Judge Nikita Blockton has been removed from the bench by the Court of the Judiciary. Keep in mind that judges, there's a separate court because, you know, you don't put judges into a regular court very often because it's, you know, considered to be a conflict of interest in some ways for judges to preside over judges. So they have this special thing called the Court of the Judiciary. And they have the Judicial Inquiry Commission, the JIC, they call it. So the JIC acts like a grand jury in a sense. The JIC puts together the evidence and submits it to the Court of the Judiciary. Well, the JIC put together a scathing complaint, according to the article here on WBRC Channel 6 in Birmingham, just last week. Get this. This is a judge in your state. It says that Judge Nikita Blockton engaged in a pattern of abuse with her staff, with litigants, meaning people who were in court, and with attorneys practicing in a courtroom. And that abuse included forcing staff to work extremely long hours and weekends, name-calling, verbal abuse, belittling employees. It highlighted one incident where one litigant who was desperate for an order to be signed because of undue delays actually called the judge, and the judge then turned around and called the attorney and threatened to have the attorney's license revoked or something. The court also found that Blockton used, this is weird, the court found that Blockton, the judge, used multiple Facebook aliases to communicate with litigants in an effort to influence divorce cases in her courtroom. Can you imagine this? The ruling also noted that Blockton attempted to influence the commission's investigation against her by engaging in witness tampering. It goes on to say that when they appointed someone to go in and help clean up her docket, that the court found that Blockton failed to dispose of cases in a timely fashion, forcing some litigants to wait extensive periods of time. All right, not a little bit here. Apparently, the attorney who was appointed to help clear up the backlog said that she was appalled by the number of Blockton's cases that had been pending for an inappropriate amount of time with no resolution because she was not doing her job. She was too busy loving the fact that she was a judge and couldn't nobody tell her anything. And she was going to have at it if you dared to question. How dare you question me about the job that I do? Don't you know who I am? Well, I'm sitting here looking at another one off the Associated Press. San Francisco. Title of this one is pretty accurate. San Francisco's vaunted tolerance dims amid brazen crimes. I just mentioned a moment ago about those smash and grab crimes. Well, it's because of the complete apathy within those who prosecute crimes, led by this district attorney named, I believe it's pronounced Chesa Boden, or Bodine, I'm not sure which, whatever. All I know is this person does not need to be in the job. And there's a widespread sense going on right now in San Francisco that things have gotten bad. Get this, shoplifting is up 17% to more than 28,000 incidences from the same time last year. The 311 number the city services use is overrun with people calling in asking for the streets and sidewalks to be cleaned up because of human feces and drugs and needles laying on the ground. Over 8,000 homeless people living on the streets in San Francisco, many of whom struggle with chronic addiction and severe mental illness. Last year, 712 people died of drug overdoses. Oh, my gosh. And so 712 died of drug overdoses. Only 257 died of COVID. That tells you something. And they have stories in the same article about, you know, the guy who came downstairs in his apartment to find, literally, there was this guy, he said, looked like a zombie standing there in front of the door to his apartment with his pants down around his ankles, bleeding down the leg with a syringe still stuck in his hip. Looked like he didn't know where he was. He says, went back upstairs and told my wife, we're leaving now. This city is done. Other business owners quoted in the article talking about the fact that they're having to close their businesses, that they can't get any customers in, and that it's gotten to the point that they just don't know if they continue to live in San Francisco. Well, all of this was kind of playing out, if you get down to it. And the whole Jussie Smollett, how do you pronounce his name right? Jussie Smollett. Well, you saw it. Jussie Smollett, convicted last week for the 2019 hate crime hoax. You remember this? I mean, how fishy was this to begin with? At 2 a.m., in the middle of a record-setting polar vortex, apparently Jussie Smollett says he wanted to go out and get some groceries. In this case, he was going to go get a Subway sandwich at 2 in the morning in a polar vortex. And then suddenly, two men wearing MAGA hats beat him up, threw bleach on him, hung a noose around his neck, called him all kinds of racist epithets because he was a black gay man. Well, the whole thing smelled fishy. And he didn't really have any injuries. And yet, all of this transpired. It blew up in the press. Well, the prosecutor, if you remember, was Cook County District Attorney Kim Fox, who's buddies with Michelle Obama's cronies in the Chicago area. She dropped all the charges. Well, somebody got it brought back. And over DA Kim Fox's dead body, they wound up trying that case last week, and he's guilty. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's go ahead and take that short break, Copper. When we come back, I'll wrap this section up. Prosecutors who won't prosecute, all you're doing is taking up space and sucking down a paycheck. Like nothing more than that grumpy slacker tile guy that we had to call and ask him to please come finish the tile in our house. You're no better. No better. Judges who won't judge, you're no better. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, got to tell you about the Alabama Pecan Company. Alabama Pecan Company, one of our team members here, is wanting you to know that if you're looking at trying to figure out what to send to that hard-to-buy-for, hard-to-shop-for relative, or you've got the clients for your business that you want to thank for their patronization of your business, I'm just telling you, Alabama Pecan Company, they've got gift baskets, some of which are already pre-made, or you can custom order a basket, and they will get those gifts under the tree for you without you having to go through all of the labor of doing so yourself. Just go to their website, Alabama Pecan Co., that's C-O, alabamapecanco.com, and check them out. They've got it going on, alabamapecanco.com. They will take care of those gifts for you, and they will get them delivered on time. All right, hey, listen, I'm wrapping up the section on prosecutors who refuse to prosecute, judges who refuse to judge. Just talked to you about a minute ago about one of our Alabama judges who literally was taken, removed off the bench for doing a horrible job. And part of her horrible job was she refuses to do her job, and she was even trying to influence cases by setting up fake Facebook accounts to try and pressure people to go certain directions in these cases. I mean, it's unbelievable. But what was also unbelievable was the national story of Jussie Smollett. You know, the movie star, the actor, the guy who the liberals love to love on because he was everything they wanted in terms of an activist mentality. And so Jussie Smollett faked this event, we now find out. Well, we all kind of knew it back then, right? He faked this event. He paid people Two guys, he paid them to help stage an incident, claiming that it was a race-based hate crime by MAGA hat-wearing individuals at 2 in the morning in the middle of a polar vortex while he went out to buy a Subway sandwich. And it was all for attention. It was all because, believed to be, all because he was in the middle of contract negotiations and wanted to get some notoriety that would give him sympathy with the ability to, you know, up his worth in the eyes of the studio. Well, I want to remind you of what happened back in the day. So Smollett, the investigation was epic. I mean, the police spent a lot of time on this. They tried to track things down, and then surveillance cameras began to paint a different picture, and eventually Smollett was charged on February 20th of 2019 for filing a false report. On March 7th of 2019, a Cook County grand jury returned a 16-count indictment against him. But on March 26th of 2019, just 2 weeks later, Cook County District Attorney Kim Fox decided to drop all of the charges and dismiss the case. Just hands down, we are not going to prosecute this. I'm going to let this go. Well, there's a whole lot there behind the scenes. It appears that Cook County DA Kim Fox, who is an activist in her own right, who just this week, by the way, was photographed out in Los Angeles with Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon. You know him, one of the most liberal, lenient on crime district attorneys funded by George Soros in the nation. She's out there being photographed. Why is the Cook County DA from Chicago flying out to California to have her picture made with the poster boy for soft on crime? I'll tell you why. Because she's an activist who's soft on crime. And she was buddy-buddy with Michelle Obama's crony, what was her name? A lady named Tron, I believe. I can't find the name in the article. But anyway, this article by the Washington Examiner paints a pretty bad image of Cook County DA, Kim Fox. Who, oh, by the way, now that he was convicted, because what happened was somebody with some chutzpah came before the court and said, this is unbelievable, and this has to be prosecuted. And they got a special prosecutor because she wouldn't do it through her office. They had to get a special prosecutor appointed, which that judge took a lot of heat for appointing a special prosecutor. And guess what? Guilty. Guilty on 5 out of the 6 counts that went to trial, despite the fact that Kim Fox did not even want to pursue it at all. Or how about this one? Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins. So now I've gone from state to interstate to federal. Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins, appointed by the Biden administration, confirmed last week. Suddenly we're beginning to find that there's no reason in the world to believe that she should have ever been appointed to the U.S. Attorney's office in Massachusetts. I mean, she has a history as a district attorney of refusing to prosecute nonviolent crimes. Basically, if you're a trespasser, shoplifter, disorderly conduct, receiving stolen property, vehicle offenses, breaking and entering, all those things, she refused for years to prosecute those things as a matter of course. Well, a situation occurred. It appears that just in the last few weeks, Rachel Rollins pretended she was a police officer, flipped on lights she wasn't supposed to have in her vehicle, tried to scream and yell and give somebody a ticket in a parking lot because she didn't like the way they were driving in the parking lot. She got caught, and when the press came to find her, she had a meltdown and claimed it was all race-based. And yet she is the one now prosecuting crime on behalf of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Massachusetts. My God. All right, folks, listen. We're going to come back in a minute with a good friend of mine, retired Army Colonel Jim Hawkins, talking about tornado relief and what it takes to coordinate something like that. It's a massive, massive effort in the wake of massive destruction. He's an expert. We'll find out what he has to say. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.